Listening to this
Thank
lesson
you for
presented
listening
by
to this
Reverend
lesson
Millage
presented
Mosby.
By Reverend Millage Mosby.
We affirm that this lesson
we
has inspired
this lesson
and
has
inspired
and
given
you practical
tools
and given
you
can practical
use to divinely
tools
guide
you can
divinely
in every
guide
aspect
you
of your life.
In every aspect of your
we
life.
We give thanks that as
we
a listener
of our online
that as a listener
lessons,
of our online
you are
Sunday
open
lessons,
to donating
you
to
are open to donating
ministry.
To support this web ministry.
Please click on the donate
Please
button
click
and follow
on the
your inner guidance
and follow your inner guidance.
And we continue to hold you
and we
in
continue
the light.
To hold you in the light.
So these lessons that we're doing become more and more challenging when you really begin to understand what it takes to implement these ideas in our lives every day. You know, it's sort of like we're going to talk about in Prosperity Plus 3 today that in order to reach a higher state of consciousness, you have to be willing to sacrifice a lower state of consciousness. And that's kind of the biggest challenge we have is that we are so familiar with this lower state of, or the state of consciousness that we are in, that to move to a higher state, knowing that we have to give up this lower state is where the challenge really is. Does that make sense? You know, because where we are is comfortable. We know it. Even though it might be a pain, it's still, we know where we are. But this higher state, it takes a little bit of a challenge to understand what it's like to function at that level. And the thing is, life is giving us opportunities moment by moment to practice being in that higher state. And today's lesson is going to really help us to understand how that really functions. So this is the seventh lesson in I'm calling it the divine source that never fails, but it's the prosperity Ten Commandments. So we're looking at the Ten Commandments from a prosperity standpoint. So the seventh commandment, as it was written in Exodus 20:14, is thou shall not commit adultery. The prosperity version of that is thou shall not abase, disgrace, demean, or lower thy wealth to idle or evil uses. Okay? So let's look at this. So this commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, it's sort of like last week with thou shalt not kill. Sometimes we think about those and says, well, I don't really do that. I don't kill. I don't steal. You just kind of throw it off because from a literal level, you say, I don't do that, so I got that one. I'm good. All right? But there's so much more to it. So this commandment has to do with thou shalt not commit adultery, has to do with purity, meaning pureness of intention, being true to one's consciousness, having a singleness of vision, a clearness of focus, unadulterated thought, unmixed emotions, all right? So that's sort of taking it to the next level, all right? And so the Bible verse we refer to most often when we're talking about this singleness of vision, having one thought in mind, is the one we hear so often, but hopefully as we hear it more often, it begins to make more sense. And that's Mark 12:30. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Singleness of focus. Is that you follow where I'm going? Okay. So the idea behind this methodology or way of being is that the one who can adhere to this commandment is less likely to adulterate or pollute his or her mind with thoughts other than faith, love, wisdom, understanding, peace, and so forth. So when your mind shifts from faith, love, peace, those kinds of ideas, and it shifts into the fear mode, you are in essence committing adultery. All right? So the person who can completely adhere to this commandment would be operating from his or her whole mind, whole body, whole spirit that's wholly connected to God. All right, so this mind is open and receptive to learning the lessons that his or her soul needs to learn in order to heal and become more spiritually enlightened. So that the dynamic, and again, we're going to talk about in Prosperity Plus 3, is this idea of being unforgiving is in essence what? Committing adultery, all right? Forgiveness is the mindset that keeps you in line with the spiritual process. And it's that's why I'm saying these things are so subtle because some of the things that happen that cause us to shift into that fear mode, remember it's only what? Only love or fear. And some of the things that shift into that fear mode, which has caused us to complain or be upset, you know, like tomorrow, I was just talking to Rod in school. The college starts back, so it's meetings all week. I don't like meetings. But see, what did I just do?
You committed
adultery. That, right? So you see how easy it is? And then when I go there, we're sitting, and all the comrades, colleagues around here going, man, they could have just emailed this to us. Why do we have to come sit in this meeting? So you follow it? And so it's so easy to fall into that dynamic because it just seems natural. People, other people go, yeah, why do we have to do this, you know? So it is a challenge to stick to that mindset because you have to really be alert to the fact that you're slipping into a different mode, all right? So, you know, if we compare this again, compare this to a person who is splintered. So the other one we talked about, they keep their mind focused on spirit. No matter what's happening, somebody says something, they keep their mind focused on spirit. It's almost like the I don't want to tell the whole story, but the farmer, when they came and said, you know, this terrible thing happened, and the guy goes, well, I don't know if it's terrible. And then it came and said, this great thing happened. I don't know whether it's great. In other words, his mind was, he had a single focus. He stayed pure to this mindset no matter what happened. That's sort of the idea. So if you compare this person who sticks to the idea of staying with spirit to the person who's splintered in consciousness, meaning has adulterated his or her mind, body, or spirit, this is usually a person who is confused about what he or she is experiencing in life. Now, you get what I'm saying, right? Stuff happens, and we say to ourselves, why is this happening? That confusion will slip you in from this mode of being in a state of oneness to a state of being splintered. Because now your mind is trying to figure out why is this going on, as opposed to just being in a state of being. And instead of being, you can listen and hear some guidance as to how to move through this particular thing that is happening. Is that making sense? Okay. All right, so the idea here is you know, in Scripture, if we look at Scripture, Mark 12:30, it says, again, you shall love the Lord your God. You've heard this so many times, that all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. It's saying keep from being splintered or adulterating the wholeness of your mind, body, and spirit. So no matter whatever happens, your mind goes back to spirit, right? Now, the key here is you want to keep that focus. Keep that focus on God, God being the spiritual center within you from which all love flows. So somebody says, what does it mean to keep your mind focused on God? You know, man, remember, now God is not what? Up there. God is within you. It is the center from which all love flows. So when you're letting fear flow from you, you're not coming from your spiritual center. Okay? So again, and none of this is condemnation. It's just sort of an awakening. You know, you want to be able to say to yourself, whoa, okay, this is where I'm coming from. And you might say to yourself, and I want to keep coming from this for a few minutes before I let go of this. You might want to wallow in it for a minute. You know, there's nothing wrong with that because you are aware that you're wallowing in it. You get what I'm saying? There's a whole big difference. You know, you're sort of like waking up to the fact that this is how I am, and then you can start to make decisions about moving into a different direction. So the practical application of this is to keep pulling yourself back when you feel yourself drifting off. Keep pulling yourself back when you feel yourself drifting off, okay? And the Revealing Word explains, if we would make within ourselves channels through which God can come forth into expression in our lives, we would see God manifest in our life, all of our life and affairs. So the key here is to make that channel through which this can happen. And you make that channel by keep pulling yourself back to a state of oneness. Right? Now, it's explained in Matthew 6:22. And again, this is a verse you've heard before. The eye is the light of the body. Therefore, if your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is not single, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if the light in you is darkness, how great that darkness will be. So the single eye, again, is you're keeping your eye on the ball, so to speak. You're keeping your eye on spirit and that spiritual dynamic within you. And for the most part, what that looks like or feels like is you're just being. You get what I'm saying? You're not being upset. You're not trying to act joyful. because, you know, because this thing that's going on, whatever's happening in your life, you're just in a state of being. I don't know if you heard the joke about men's brains and women's brains. And a man's brain is full of boxes. They got all kinds of boxes in their head. And their favorite box to go into is a nothing box. Well, you know, when your wife or whoever says to you, honey, what are you thinking? Nothing. And when we say that, we mean it. Nothing. So it's sort of like, ladies, you got to develop a nothing box, right? So when all the stuff is going on, you can just slip into that box and you just, because when you're in that space of nothingness, then spirit can talk to you. But when you're busy, you know, going through your whole inner emotional drama and dynamics, spirit is trying to talk, but we are not listening, okay? So that's sort of what, if you say, what does that look like to turn to God? It means turning into this space of just being, okay? So when we, you know, when we're busy doing what we normally do, which is flitting back and forth between having faith and not having faith, between fear and love, we are in effect committing adultery. Why? Because we are not maintaining a singleness of focus, and that lack of singleness of focus causes us to adulterate our mind, heart, and spirit with mixed emotions about how we perceive what we're experiencing. Okay? So, in this case, we're being true to our ego self. When we're splintered and we're going back and forth and we're flipping back and forth, oh, I got faith, and the next moment I don't have faith. You know, I'm full of love, now I'm full of fear. And so that's the whole dynamics of the ego self. What you want to move into is being true to your spiritual self. You want to be true to that self that stays centered no matter what. So as you can see, this is another one of those very challenging lessons that at its deepest level challenges everything that's familiar and common to our human way of thinking and reasoning, right? And that's the thing about this. When you take these spiritual ideas to the next level, everything you thought was okay doesn't work at that level. Notice I didn't say it's not okay. I said it doesn't work at that level. It's okay at this level, but it doesn't work at that level. Does that make sense? All right? And if your mindset is, I want to be at this higher level, you have to change the vibration of your being from this level to the vibration of that level. And to get to that, you have to sacrifice this vibration. All right? So another thing we're going to talk about in Prosperity Plus is the idea of forgiveness. Unforgiveness is a vibration. It's a lower level vibration. And you're saying to yourself, but I know I should be forgiving. All right? But to be forgiving, I got to give up being unforgiving. And you know, you're struggling with that, right? Oh, but I got all these reasons why I should not forgive, right? And they're legitimate reasons. As we share with each other, oh yeah, boy, you better hold on to that, right? Okay? But the key is, if I really want to move into the vibration of being forgiving, I have to give up all this vibration down here. So sacrifice is the process we have to go through to move from one level to the next, okay? Now, Moses dealt with this commandment at a very basic level because he knew who he was working with, that these folks, they weren't going to grasp it at the way it was given to him, all right? He was giving it to him at the full level, at the highest level of could be possibly understood, but he knew that the people he was talking to, they weren't going to get it. So as he said, you know, we've said many times before, they weren't ready for that deeper level, but we are ready, all right? However, let me be clear. The basic level of this commandment is still true today, but in this series, we're expanding this commandment beyond just monitoring our behavior, right? So, but the question is, are we ready for the deeper spiritual meaning of this commandment that expands it beyond the obvious literal meaning to its potential to guide us into a holistic spiritual life, right? And that's always, it is so easy to stay at a basic level. We got that, right? But to move to the next level takes a whole nother mindset. And the main idea behind this prosperity approach to the Ten Commandments is to maintain a healthy, wealthy thinking process and a healthy, wealthy belief process. That's what we're working on. And again, it's not about, tell me, when you hear the word wealthy, first thing you think about is what? Rich people. Right. We think about money. But there are so many other things that work for us. Like this past week, I had some oral stuff done that I'm still feeling. And, you know, I got this thing in my SI joint that goes out every now and then when I increase my workout beyond what I should be doing. So my hip was hurting and my mouth is hurting. And all I could think about this week was what? Yeah, wanting to be healed. Nothing else mattered. Right? Your mouth is hurting and your hip is hurting. Nothing else matters. Right? All the money in the world doesn't matter. You just want to be what? Healed. Okay? So that's what I'm saying. Healthy, wealthy covers the whole spectrum of whatever it is that we say would be the life that we want to live. Right? So that's the idea. So you want to have a healthy, wealthy thinking process and a healthy, wealthy belief system. Right? Now, the main thought and belief in a healthy, wealthy thinking process is God is the source of my supply. So working with these ideas, when I was sitting in my meditation or sit whatever, what I was doing was I wasn't thinking about what was going on here and I wasn't thinking about what was going on here. I was thinking about my connection with my Christ body within. So I was trying to move my spiritual, physical body that had moved itself out into pain and move it back into my spiritual body where none of that exists. And that was my mindset for the week. You get what I'm saying? You have to work these ideas to get them to work out, right? So, and actually the creative process in mind through which this prosperity thing works is that it really has a lot to do understanding the first three commandments that we went through from a prosperity perspective. All right, so the first commandment from a prosperity perspective is you should look to no other source but God for your supply. You should have no other gods before me, right? You should look to no other source but God for your supply. So if healing of some situation in your body, yes, you can go to the doctor, you can do all the things that are out here for us to do because they were created for us at the level that we're at. But even as you're using those sources, you also want to be working on reconnecting with spirit. Okay? And so, and the second one is you shall make no mental images of lack. No mental images of lack. That can be tough. All right? And then the third one is you shall not speak the word of lack or limitation. But that one was do not take the Lord's name in vain. Right? You shall not speak the word of lack or limitation. And again, it is so easy for us to do that. Okay? So each of these commandments is saying, if you want to live a healthy, wealthy life, do not adulterate or defile your mind. All right? And do not adulterate or defile your mind with negative thinking or negative thoughts or negative talk or whatever. It's moving back into that state of just being. And this is a place in which you form a holy union or a common union with God. And that's what you're looking for, a common union with God. Now, Jesus taught us that defiling your mind with impure thoughts was as great an evil as using the life force haphazardly in a way that may harm yourself or others. Okay? Now, the word defile means, and I'm using these words for a reason, the word defile means to degrade, disgrace, dishonor, desecrate, violate. Now, take any of these negative concepts and substitute them in this scripture that we read before about the eye is single, and this is what you get. The eye is the light of the body. Therefore, if what your eye is focused on is graceful, honorable, loving, kind, compassionate, forgiving, and full of faith, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is not single and focused on that which is disgraceful, dishonorable, unloving, unkind, unforgiving, and fearful, your whole body will be full of darkness. Okay? And additionally, if we fully understand the meaning of the scripture in Exodus 3:5, where Jehovah said to Moses, "Do not come near, put off the shoes from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And the idea of put off the shoes from your feet is that shoes are typically thought of man-made. And when you're dealing with God, you want to be naked, which means what? Vulnerable, no pretenses. So he says, take off the shoes from your feet because the place on which you're standing is holy ground. Now, the holy ground that we're referred to by Jehovah is the very mind in which we think. Take off the shoes from your feet because the place in which you're standing is holy ground. The holy ground is your own mind. You get what I'm saying? So the Lord is saying that if you want to talk to me, you got to remove all that stuff that you came to me for to fix. I ain't fixing none of it. Only thing I got to fix is you. And then you'll understand all the stuff you're bringing to me to fix is irrelevant. It just goes away. The reason why it's there is because you're thinking about it and you're creating it. So when you come to spirit, you want to put all that stuff away. Does that make sense? Okay. And so the revealing word says mind is the starting point of every thought and feeling. It is the common meeting ground between God and man. It is the place where we form holy union or common union with God. So everything happens in mind. And we know that. You know, like you go to eat something. You look at it. You go, ooh, that looks good. Right? And right in your mind, already you formulated the experience you're going to have when you bite into it. Am I right? And then when you bite into it, then something happens. In marketing, they call it gap analysis. It's the difference between if you actually experience what you thought you were experiencing or you experience something totally different. But it all started here. Everything you do. You could be laying on the beach, you know, in your favorite island, sipping something, you know, and but really when you come back home, where does it still exist? In your mind. Even while you're doing it, you're thinking to yourself, this is great. All right? It's not like when we took our kids to the Bahamas for the first time when they were little kids and we got on the plane, they go, this is the Bahamas? Sorry. So again, they must have had some vision in their mind of what it was going to be like, right? And when they got there, it wasn't like that. Right? You know? But that's the thing to understand is that nothing out here is real. It's only real in here based on our perception of what we think is good or not good. So in 1 Corinthians 3, 16 through 17, it is written, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? For God's temple is holy, and that temple is you. So if we really understood that we were God's temple, we wouldn't let any crazy stuff go on in here. It's because we don't really understand that concept, that we are God's instrumentation. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. And that is what we are. So even though challenging conditions and people and circumstances seem to pop up from nowhere and disrupt our lives, creating havoc and chaos and confusion, we must always remember that whatever we are, wherever we are in consciousness, God is right there with us, providing us with all the creative power of the universe that is ready for us to draw from to create a state of mind that we need to deal with whatever challenge has been given to us. Stuff happens, it's going to happen. How many people got stuff happening? All right? But the thing is to realize you have the resources. The resources are always there. It is just up to us to know how to draw from them. And the first thing to do to make that withdrawal is nothing. Pure, absolute, inner silence. And even if that stuff is going on, it's sort of like let it go on in the background. But in the foreground, you are working with your oneness with spirit. So our consciousness is the master creator of our outer circumstances. And now that we know that we are constantly creating our experiences, we have the opportunity to learn how to use God wisdom, God love, and God abundance to create the life that we truly desire. But we must be willing to work in the service of spirit. Work in the service of spirit. What that means is when you get those divine ideas, move forward on them. And they happen all the time. And they happen at times that are not convenient. Like, I'm trying to get ready for class. I got this one course that takes a whole lot to get it together. I worked with it. I called tech support yesterday, did all this stuff. They couldn't get it to do what I wanted. Went to bed, 9:30, got up at 2 o'clock because Spirit said, here's the answer. And by this morning, 99% of it was done. Now, if I hadn't have gotten up, I'd still be going, man, I got to get that class together. You see what I'm saying? You got when Spirit don't care nothing about time. Spirit don't know nothing about time. So when you get that divine inspiration, you better get up and move on it. Because if you say, I'll do it in the morning, I'll do it later, you ain't going to remember. How many of us still now walking into a room and going, what did I come in here for? So if you're having that problem, yeah. So, you know, the thing about it is we have to practice. It's practice, practice, practice. You know, practice keeping our eyes single and not adulterating our vision by living, you know, outside of the spiritual abundant life that we say that we want. You want to feel what it likes to be like that. Pam and I, we do this all the time. When we're doing something that we absolutely love and we want more of it, we acknowledge it. You know, we get thanks for this moment of us doing this thing that we absolutely love and we absolutely want to do more of that. All right? And so that is sort of that's a prayer to the universe saying, God, this is what we like. Please provide more of this for us. All right? And let your body vibrate with, let your being vibrate with that good that you really enjoy doing. So the mind, you know, that is splintered is not and cannot keep a single focus on God as a source of supply, mainly because it does not understand the power that comes from living in constant communion with God. A splintered mind prefers to be in constant union with the multitude of external sensory phenomena that's constantly bombarding our minds. We get enjoyment out of this. You watch the news? Non-stop craziness. All right? Non-stop. And, you know, it's interesting. I don't know if you guys heard. We live on, you know, the rural tier, Bowie and Mill Branch Road. Comes right off of 301. I don't know if you heard yesterday there was a Pam went out to do her walk, and it was all blocked off by the police because there was a fire over in that area in the woods. There's a lot of woods and whatnot, and they found a charred body in there. All right? So, you know, we're watching the news last night, and the news right in our neighborhood. All right? So, you know, the craziness is everywhere. That's why it's so important to stay what? Focused, centered. All right? So the idea here is that, you know, is to practice that process all the time, keeping that common union with God. And what we're striving to do in these lessons is gain enough knowledge and enough courage to try God, to put God to the in the spiritual life to the test. You get it? I'm going to try God. I'm going to put this to the test. I'm going to see what happens. And we tried our own way long enough. Some of us, real long. Right? So now it's time to try God, to put the spiritual process to the test. Now, it's written in Malachi 3:10. Here's one of the tougher tests. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, and thus put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. Now, the concept of the whole tithe is referring to what we've been talking about in Prosperity Plus 3. It's realizing that everything that comes into your life, everything that comes to you, all comes from God. I don't care where you can say, oh, and that came from there, and that came from there, and I got this resource, and I got that resource, whatever. It all comes from God, okay? So, what we call this idea of God is that divine source. We're just stewards of the abundance that God gives us. We get into, oh, this is mine. It's not yours. You're mainly a steward to know how to work with that, you know? So as God's supply comes into our lives, it's our spiritual duty to remain open to divine wisdom that guides us into how much to tithe, how to use it, how to share it, and how to distribute it in a way that keeps us in the divine flow. If you stop the flow, it's piling up in the fourth dimension, the kingdom of heaven. It's piling up because you stopped it, and it's waiting for you to let it move so it can come into your life. You get the process? So it's not that it stops flowing. It's that you're blocking it, and it's just piling up, right? And so you want to just learn how to let it flow through you. And we talk about that in Prosperity Plus 3, about how to do that and different methods that you do it to make it, you know, just flow and be easy for you. And as we practice being open, we will receive divine guidance and divine ideas. That's what we're really looking for, is divine guidance, divine ideas. If you are rich in divine ideas, can you imagine? All right? And the divine guidance in terms of how to put those ideas into expression, that's what we really want. All right? And so, but it entails our being willing enough and courageous enough to follow the guidance we receive. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself to see whether you are holding to your faith. Test yourself. All right? And God's abundance is a blessing that is bestowed upon everyone who is wise enough to receive it. We read in Proverbs 10:22, the blessings of the Lord makes you rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. You get it? In other words, Spirit just gives. And there's no sorrow attached. There's no, as I'm receiving it, there's no detriment to receiving from Spirit. There might be some detriment you add to it, but Spirit doesn't add any detriment to it. It just gives, because that's all it can do, is just give. All right. So when divine ideas that create a healthy, wealthy life are used in ways that are appreciated, then the divine source from which it comes just keeps pouring. It keeps producing more of its kind, not only to bless you, but to bless the lives of everyone around you. And it spills over tenfold. And that's the thing to let it, just we want that, let that happen. So we're going to end this with this affirmation, which we're going to affirm together. I do not adulterate my mind with fearful thoughts. I remain clear, open, and receptive to God's instant, constant, abundant source of supply. And so it is. Amen.